we believe the future is marketing. Sales and marketing coming into alignment to deliver that digital sales journey seamlessly for the customer.
Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast, where we reimagine and redefine sales in a digital world. In this new series, we have absolutely scoured the world to bring you only the best of the very best. We will be working with each of the thought leaders to unpack all of their years of experience, their pearls of wisdom, and nuggets of gold into bite-sized chunks that will enable you to redefine your sales.
Welcome, welcome. My name is Abby White and I'm the CEO here at Sales Redefined. I'm going to be going through with you a whistle-stop tour in 27 minutes of the future of sales, what it means for us, and more importantly, what are a couple things that we can start doing now to get us on our way. If you haven't come across Sales Redefined before, we are all about sales transformation and how really, when we're in the digital age, how do we start to transform our sales? How do we maximize our results and maximize our conversion? And taking you through the future of sales today is absolutely going to give you some tangible takeaways to help you to start to do that and apply that in your business. So look, the starting point for me is this. I don't fear a lot of things, but this is one thing that I live in fear of. I never want to get left behind. I always want to be looking at what's coming next, what's coming next. I once read a really amazing interview with the founder of Canva. And what she was saying was she looked and she built a business for what was coming in the next 10 years. And I loved that, so that she was constantly looking ahead and not at risk of getting left behind. I've certainly experienced once in my career when I was an IT vendor, an incident where we didn't really recognize what was going on and we started to, in that particular space, get left behind, and it wasn't a pleasant place to be. So I'm always looking at what's coming because no one wants to be blockbusters, just like this quote from the ex-CEO of Blockbusters. No one wants to be blockbusters in the Blockbusters Netflix situation. And where I think we're at today at this point in time in sales is we're at the best of both point. I was laughing with one of my team, Leah, because there's a bread in the UK called Best of Both. And Leah thought I'd lost my marbles when I was showing one of our clients a picture of this Best of Both bread. But what it was for me is, you know, we can still look at what has got us here, what has worked for us, what has been successful and stood the test of time and still stands true. And then what also is coming and is coming in the future. So just like the best of both, where it's the best of wholemeal bread and white bread, and you get both of those, I think we need to look at what has stood the test in time of sales and is still successful to this day. And what actually is the other part is the future of sales that you can start to take one or two things and start to incorporate. So we get both the best of the old world and best of the new worlds. And that's what I think the game is. And that's where I think the focal point is. And it's certainly what we're doing here at Sales Redefined. So if I take you on the journey of where are we at with the future of sales, really it all starts with, sorry to talk about it, we're all sick of it, but it really starts with some of the transition with COVID. COVID accelerated sales by arguably up to 5-10 years. It was going to happen anyway, but COVID turbocharged it because we all started having to go in the world of remote selling, virtual selling, and obviously we know that. What happened though was we started talking about return to normal and when are we going to go back to normal? But actually, you know, that conversation has been and gone and passed. And now most companies are actually looking at how they sustain their existing model that they adopted during COVID. So they're going to more of a hybrid model. So some of us are still going back to face-to-face events. I had a face-to-face coffee this morning. It was lovely. But we're also still doing a lot of virtual like we are today. And so there's that hybrid model that has come into place. So there is no going backwards. And if you look at other points, so for example, in the world of B2C, that also accelerated by up to 10 years. So the changes that happened in e-commerce, where suddenly we're all ordering online, we all want our parcels from Amazon, Kmart, wherever we're ordering from, we want it delivered tomorrow. Our expectations are through the roof. You only have to look at the likes of Amazon, where they've opened their stores that are completely contactless, and how that has started to be really embraced and adopted in different countries. And actually that acceleration in terms of B2C and e-commerce has just gone miles ahead I read a stat that the digital wallets that we use, so when you've got your credit card on your phone, the increase in usage for payment via digital wallets increased by 50% over the time of COVID. That is just enormous. And obviously, as we've seen, B2B tends to follow B2C. And so that's really the path that we're going down. So we're seeing that ability to have that e-commerce experience, that online experience and virtual sales process also come to play in B2B, where historically we might have argued, nah, that needs to be done face-to-face. Not the case anymore. Now, that's kind of what businesses have done. But for me, what I'm far more concerned about than what we want is what customers want. And if you look at this region that we sit in here, we have seen that APAC B2B buyers are showing 2 times more preference for digital interactions over traditional interactions. That is enormous. And it's not just that. By 2025, which is just around the corner now, it's predicted by Gartner that 80% of sales between suppliers and buyers will actually buy digital channels. And so that is just a massive, massive, massive shift in a world where historically we used to say, nah, it needs to be face-to-face and it will never go digital. So what's emerged from that really is digital sales. And I think that that brings some really, really interesting questions around it on digital sales. What does that mean? And what are the impacts of that? And I'm going to start to step into those in a moment. Before I do, the other piece that I want to tap on around understanding what do the buyers want, because ultimately it's all about them and their preferences, is actually the change that has come not just because of COVID. So this isn't just a COVID statement that's accelerated the game. It's also a change in profile. So we've started to see more millennials come up into senior decision-making roles, and they want a different experience when they're buying. They want a different experience with sellers. So as you can see here, 44% of millennials prefer no sales rep at all. So we were sort of debating as a team, what does this mean? Is this the end of the sales rep? What does it mean? And, you know, our stance on this at Sales Redefined is no, it doesn't mean the end of the sales rep. We're not all gone, but it means that the engagement from a sales rep is very, very, very different. And therefore what we need to do to be most effective is different. As an example of that, what we've seen is people are over 50% of the way through the decision-making process before they even reach out to a sales rep. So the role of the sales rep now isn't just that face-to-face component once someone has reached out. It's how do you influence the first 50% when people are Googling and they're researching and they're reading. And that huge component of it all comes back to digital sales, which we're going to tap into a lot more. Now, when we look at virtual sales, digital sales, there's a lot of confusion around what that is and what that isn't. Now, for us, there's so many components of that and just a snippet of it. You know, part of it is what we're doing today that, you know, we're all very familiar and very used to Zoom, Teams, whatever that might be in terms of this sort of environment virtually. But it's not just that. It's also how we're starting to see virtual reality, the metaverse, things like that start to come to play. We just recorded a podcast about 2 weeks ago now on the metaverse and starting to understand that. I was very confused. So if you're going, what on earth is it? Just check out that podcast. But the really, really simple version that Michelle, who I interviewed, explained is it's just the next iteration of the internet where it's more a 3D world. And that's becoming really, really accessible. And so we're seeing all different user cases for that. And we're seeing people have better engagement, better learning in that sort of immersive experience. And what the predictions are now is that in the next 10 years, we'll spend 50% of our time in the metaverse and in immersive experiences. Now, I initially kind of fell off my chair at that and was like, no, that's crazy. But if you actually put it back into that frame that Michelle did for us, if it's just the next iteration of the internet, if I said to you, we spend 50% of our time on the internet, you'd go, yeah, I can see that. And so that's coming now and that's becoming more accessible. You know, no one was talking about it a couple of years ago. Now everyone is talking about it. And so we're looking at how that plays a part in the sales experience. And that can also just be in training and enablement. For example, pilots, they will learn in a virtual reality situation in a training ground. And that's no different to what we're now seeing exist for salespeople, training and learning in that sort of environment. So it's not just the meetings that are happening, the enablement that's happening with customers. It's also sales professionals themselves are starting to learn in some of those environments. So many people now want to self-serve on the website. The level of frustration you now get if you can't self-serve on a website. I was looking at a new potential product for our business the other day, and I just wanted to you know, look at it, find out the information and go. And I couldn't. So immediately left the website and went elsewhere because we want to self-serve. We now look at the impact and the role of collaboration tools and messaging. You know, when we message online, we expect an instant response. And it's coming back to that 24/7 environment that we expect in that digital environment and digital world, and therefore having the right tools in place that support us to serve our clients in that way. And then, of course, part of that digital sales process then becomes around content. So when people are researching, they're self-serving, how can you help to educate them and be part of that process? So you might not directly be having a one-to-one meeting in that early initial stage, but you can be putting out there educational materials, being a thought leader, adding value, your videos, that people are consuming that content to learn and understand how your solution helps them solve their problem and therefore influence the sale indirectly. And so sellers are starting to become part of that experience too, and have a responsibility to build their personal brand, to share, to step up, to be the thought leader. And part of that story comes down to social media. How are we actually being proactive on social? And we're going to touch on that a little bit more as we go along the piece. But if we look at digital sales in its entirety, I think the biggest problem this creates for us is that sales responsibility or marketing's responsibility? Because I think we've just made clear the research is there. You've got to be effective in digital sales. So we've got to all start embracing and adopting that journey. And that's why it's a journey of sales transformation. But the confusion comes when you go, is that sales responsibility or marketing? So if you take social as one dimension of that, well, surely that's marketing. But actually, what we're seeing is content shared by employees is eight times more effective. So actually, it's the individual sellers also stepping up and playing their part as well of the game. And so what that brings me to is we believe the future is marketing. And the future is marketing is sales and marketing coming into alignment to deliver that digital sales journey seamlessly for the customer. And I believe that's the only way. You cannot have the disconnect that has historically existed. Historically, we've always talked about sales and marketing almost being like a divorced couple. And we see so many leads, you know, fall by the wayside because of that. Statistically speaking, only 8% of companies have a strong alignment between their sales and marketing. And those that do have a strong alignment generate 209% more revenue. So this is one of the few places right now you can get a competitive advantage. We are seeing it on every single campaign that has skyrocket results. Is they have brought their sales and marketing into alignment. Now, even if you're a small business, we're a small business. We have to look at how does our sales and marketing come into alignment? What we're doing on LinkedIn, how does that actually start to deliver for our sales? What we're doing on YouTube, and we're working right now really hard on our YouTube strategy. Okay, that might be marketing historically, but how does that deliver for sales? And how is it seamless? And we don't have that age-old leaky funnel. Because this is the problem that used to occur. Is that marketing would forget to enable sales, and actually sales leads that were generated by marketing would not be followed up on. Now, like I said, even if you're a single person in a business, this still applies because those leads that come via Facebook, Insta, LinkedIn, your webinar, your ebook, whatever that might be, what's the nurture and the follow-up process so that they don't go by the wayside? And then for the larger organizations that we work with, making sure that whatever marketing campaign is on the go, sales are absolutely day one tied into that journey, ready to contribute, input what they're hearing from the customer, input what are the questions they're getting asked most often, and then starting to nurture, follow up those leads through to fruition. And that's where you're going to get the maximum out of your budget, is by bringing these two together. So in the world of digital sales, we can't just think sales or marketing, we have to think smarketing, be it one man band or be it large organization. Now, the reason that we need to do this, to build upon that, is because the journey has changed. We have more touch points now to be able to have to connect with a potential client and nurture them through to conversion. There's on average now 15 touch points between I've never met your company, I don't know about your product or service, to yes, I want to buy. And so that is a hell of a lot of touch points. And that's also across on average 11 stakeholders. So it's pretty much not humanly possible to do 15 touch points across 11 stakeholders without thinking of digital sales and how technology can also start to play a part in it. And it doesn't have to be complex. It doesn't have to be big technology. We use a CRM tool that is pretty powerful in our business. I think it costs us something like $50 a month. And so the great news is, the great news story that I love is that a lot of the technologies that enable us to do exactly what I'm talking about have actually been almost commoditized, and they're therefore very accessible at an accessible and affordable price point that allow us to create this customer journey that nurtures through to conversion. And that's where we're going to see the maximum results. So in a digital sales world, this becomes absolutely imperative. And so for a lot of the campaigns that we work on with clients, it looks something a little bit like this. And I think of it as, you can't just get married on the first date. We can't go out and go, hey, buy my product or service. It doesn't work. So we do have to look at, how do we nurture people beforehand as they're getting to know your product, your service, trying to understand what's going to solve their problem. And so we look at the stepping stones, or the dates, if you will, to take people through that journey and meet them where they're at. If people are already advanced on their journey, they might jump straight into a one-to-one with you, or a webinar, or a demo, or a conversation, or a consult. They might jump straight in. But by having these multiple touch points and these multiple options, then people can jump on board the journey depending on where they're at. And it's all about making sure we nurture people from A to B, B to C, C to D. We always say that, never leave without offering a second date. So if you have a fantastic webinar, how do you offer a second date that someone can continue that conversation with you? If you have an amazing educational PDF, how do you offer a second date at the end that, again, people can continue that conversation with you? And likewise with everything that goes into market. So see, these are some of the assets that start to play a part in a digital sales world. Now, you'll notice here some of these are also face-to-face. For us, it's not about 100% digital. That is what I think is categorically one of the biggest mistakes, is going 100% digital. What we believe in is digital first, not digital only. So digital first, not digital only. So you might have initial touch points around social media, around virtual events that might be actually in that digital capacity, but then we take it offline to face-to-face. We might take it offline to a face-to-face meeting or consult, or take it offline to a face-to-face event, and then go back onto some nurturing online with emails or follow-ups and so on. And so it's really blending, as we talked about before, that best of both, which is where we're going to see the same result. So still think about those face-to-face components that work for your business in your world. Still think about the part that they play. Don't look to go 100% digital. Now, the reason this model is so effective and looking at these multiple touch points and multiple dates is because now, on average, 41% of B2B buyers consume more than 5 pieces of an organization's content before even engaging a salesperson. So we talked about earlier, how do you influence that initial 50% of the sales process? This is how. People are Googling. They are researching. How do I do this? Where do I do that? And when they do so, you want them to come across the educational material that you're providing. I believe now we sell by educating. An ethos that we have at Sales Redefined that we took from Julie Masters, who specialized in influence, is 2 things. One, how do we out-contribute? We want to out-contribute in our space, providing free webinars like this, providing free downloads like we do very, very regularly, providing enormous educational content on our LinkedIn channel. We want to out-contribute. But when we're out contributing, we want to be a translator in the process. So we want to go, hey, the future of sales is super complicated. There's so much out there. Let us boil it down for you in 30 minutes flat on what you need to know. So how in your world do you act and be the translator, as Julie Masters talks about? And you can check it out in our podcast episode with Julie Masters if you're interested. How do you become the translator and out contribute in your space and have these touch points as digital stepping stones or digital dates that are going to help you with your customers? Now, when you're thinking about this and going, oh my gosh, Abby, this is so overwhelming, start with one thing. What is one digital touch point that you can kickstart today? Just one thing that you can start doodling, brainstorming, coming up with today, and test it. So much of this is putting it out there and testing. We have started doing quite a lot around LinkedIn, but we haven't done an enablement just on LinkedIn. It's always been part of a greater enablement process for us. But last week we did a webinar just on LinkedIn. And it turned out to be our most popular webinar we've ever done. So by throwing it out there, doing something very low cost and testing it, we went, that's a really cool digital touch point that we can continue to build upon. So think of an easy, low cost way that you can build out just one, just start with just one digital touch point and start testing it and putting it into market. We always say, don't build out the whole thing and wait until it's ready. Start testing and putting things into place and then build the funnel as you go. When you're doing this, what you need to start to think about is how can you anticipate what your customers want? When you're thinking of the digital touch point that you're going to create, it's getting into the minds of your customer and going, where are they at right now? What are the questions they're asking? What are the problems that they're facing? To answer this, what's the question you get asked most often? What do you just keep on hearing and hearing and hearing and go with that? Because right now, what we are seeing is that customers are expecting us to anticipate their needs before they've even come to us, before they've even connected. So if you are producing those digital touch points that are thinking about the needs of your customers and what's going to be coming up, are they coming up to peak season? Are they coming up to a challenging season? Because actually the market and the economy is changing. What is it that is going on for them that we can anticipate, put together these touch points and reach out proactively? The latest research on high-performance salespeople is showing high-performance salespeople are 3.8 times more likely to reach out proactively. So I'll give you a real live example of how we have just done this fresh off the boat this week. We put together our PDF for the future of sales because we thought we know that at this time of year, at the start of the financial year, a lot of people, where's their head at? They're strategizing for the year ahead. So we're going to actually, at this point, when they're in strategy mode, we're going to provide the PDF and the webinars for the future of sales. So people can start to actually think about what they're going to embed in their strategy. We proactively went out to prospects, customers, our social media, and we actually shared that future of sales asset and shared it with people and say, hey, thought of you, thought this might be really valuable right now if you're in strategy mode. We actually got people come back to us and say, fantastic, it kickstarted a new conversation. And then we've had some clients actually engage us into paid work from that reach out. So we're out contributing, we're educating, we're adding value. And then along that journey, if some people want to take that a step further and get a helping hand to work with us, amazing. And we're doing it in a really authentic, value-added way. And so that's the way that we're seeing this work really, really effectively. So start predicting and thinking, where are your customers going to be at next month, the next 3 months, the next 6 months? And how do you start to be the person who's already anticipated? You're there, you're turning up in your inbox. Hey, I know you're coming up to peak season, thought this might be interesting for you. And in terms of where do you share that? And we talked about the sales funnel, those multiple stepping stones. Where do you go and share those? It's not a one-size-fits-all answer. The answer is, where are your customers hanging out? So I love this quote around the challenger sale. The best salespeople are engaging with customers where and how they learn. That might be a networking group. That might be an association. That might be a digital forum. That might be Instagram, TikTok. It could be a number of different things. Where are they hanging out? And we found for a lot of industries, we find little offshoots of groups and communities and associations that are actually really awesome places that we can go and contribute. To give a Sales Redefined example, we used to find that a lot of our clients would hang out at co-working spaces like WeWork and WhatsO. So we would go to WeWork and WhatsO and say, hey, can we do a lunch and learn for your members? We'd love to do a lunch and learn on X topic. Would that be of value? And they would always say yes. So we would turn up, out contribute, educate where our customers were hanging out. And then again, a certain proportion of people would say, amazing, can we get a helping hand to take it a step further? So think about not just the obvious of socials, think beyond that. Where are 10 places that your customers are hanging out? What are they reading? What are they consuming? Where are they working? And that's where we want to share those assets. So social media is one part of that. Like I said, it's not the only part, but it's one part. And so think about what part social selling plays. For us, the way we've approached this as a business is we start with one tool. So for us, we started with LinkedIn because that's where our audience is hanging out. And then we've started building beyond that to the next and the next and the next. So pick one channel, get really good with that and move forward, because social, it isn't everything. So don't just go 100% social, but it's definitely one crucial step. Now, I want to take a completely different tact in the last few minutes we've got left and think about a couple other things as well that participate in the future of sales conversation. One is corporate social responsibility. This used to be very much a nice to have, in my personal opinion, but now we're seeing it be absolutely compulsory. We want to know that we are buying from a company that's ethical. You only have to look for 3 seconds at what happened with the Russia invasion into Ukraine and look at how businesses started pulling out. Look at the US with Roe versus Wade and how suddenly companies were expected to start talking about how they were going to support their employees around abortion. And it doesn't just have to be on the big stuff. It can be the small stuff too. We've got a customer at the moment as well around their commitment to reducing carbon emissions, but even at a basic level around recycling. And so people are looking right now at what part do you play, even small part, in corporate social responsibility. And as you can see by all of the stats here, that is what customers are looking for, and it's starting to influence the buying decision and carrying more weight than it's ever done so before. So that's one component on the future of sales. The other component that obviously I can't leave you without talking about is AI. So thinking about AI and what parts it plays, as I talked about before, it used to be so expensive and so unattainable. Whereas now you can actually get some really, really, really cost-effective tools that actually help us with this. So what we're starting to see is AI-based sales tools that start guiding the selling process. So as you can see here, 57% of businesses plan to increase investments in AI-driven sales in the coming year. So that can even be a very basic level around some of your CRM tools, your customer relationship management tools, that start to guide us in the sales process. So people are using it not only to give those data-driven insights of, hey, did you realize that actually this is a trend that's happening amongst your customers? Or did you realize that Bob's been on your website 10 times, you should give him a call? Or hey, it's Bob's birthday today, you should give him a call. And understand your customers and your data and personalize the experience from there even more. But people are also using it to remove the admin. If you look at sales, there is a huge proportion of salespeople who are not hitting their number. And when you look at what are salespeople doing, where are they spending their time? Too much time is being spent on administrative tasks that we can now look to AI-based tools to remove those repetitive tasks. So this is where we're seeing it start to come into the mix and play the part. So just building upon what I said before, that trend then is emerging from intuition-based selling of, oh, I think I should follow them up now because I think this would be a good time, or, oh, I remembered today and I've got a bit of spare time, to data-driven selling that says, hey, these 10 people are coming up for a renewal, you need to reach out to them now. These 10 people have been on our website, you need to reach out to them now. These people haven't renewed with us, can you go and speak to them? Or whatever that conversation might be. And so that data also allows us to personalize the experience as we go. There's nothing worse than getting an email or a call or a reach out that you go, this isn't for me. I don't even have a dog. Why am I getting something about dog food? You know, you want something that is personalized to you, and that helps you make you feel that that business knows you better than anyone else. So finishing up, as I start to wrap us up here, is all of this, everything that we've talked about leads back to customer experience, everything. If I can get data-driven insights, I can personalize your customer experience. If I can use AI to be more effective, I can give you a better customer experience. If I can actually tailor that content to the problems that you're facing right now, you're going to have a better customer experience. Everything that I talked about leads back to better customer experience. And you can see here, proof's in the pudding. Businesses that have invested in customer experience are getting greater growth, greater ROI on that investment that they've made. And so that is where the future really is sitting. How do you improve the customer experience? It's really, really hard to compete with a company that has epic customer experience and makes it their own. So that was a whistle-stop tour in 30 minutes. But to wrap us up, what that future of sales is starting with digital first. Digital first, not digital only. If we're going digital first and thinking digital sales, you have to think marketing and how you pull together sales and marketing. When you're doing that sales and marketing, it needs to be buyer-centric, all about the customer. What are they facing? That allows us to think in a hyper-personalized way and have a hyper-personalized experience. We can give that hyper-personalized experience by using the data and the AI and the insights that allow us to tailor and mold the conversation. That is enabling us, that technology is enabling us to do it because the customer is everywhere. On average, people are on over 10 channels as we talked about, multiple stakeholders, multiple touch points, multiple channels. The customer is everywhere. We can only do that if we've got the right tools in place. And that's by hyper automating the experience, because we can't do all of that ourselves. It's just borderline impossible. And so what all of that brings us to on the future of sales is really starting to think about now the sales leaders of the future will be focusing on increasing sales, not the leader of salespeople, because those channels might be different. They might be digital channels. They might be self-serve channels. They might be face-to-face channels, but it's sales everywhere via every channel. So that is my most enormous whistle-stop tour on the future of sales. If you want to break that down even further, you are very, very welcome to do so by jumping onto a one-to-one with me. I'm really happy to have that conversation if you want to think about, well, yeah, Abby, but how does that apply to my business? So you're very welcome to book in on a free one-to-one. We are also providing a lot of information on our LinkedIn channel. So I encourage you to check out our Sales Redefined LinkedIn. We have what's called the Smarketing Lowdown, which is a fortnightly newsletter essentially on LinkedIn, but it talks about everything we're seeing working, what we're seeing not working and stay away from. So jump onto our Sales Redefined LinkedIn page, make sure that you follow us there, subscribe to our Smarketing Lowdown. If you have any issues, just ping me directly, connect with me. I'd love to connect so that we can really help you to stay across what's working and what's not. We are at Sales Redefined the ultimate experimenters. We are playing and experimenting with this stuff all the time. So we want to share with you what we're seeing working, what's not working, so that you guys have got those road tested bits and pieces to take back to your business. So I've overrun on you by a couple minutes. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that was helpful. And we hope to speak to you again soon in the future. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for us attending our whistle stop tour of the future of sales. Thanks, guys.
3, 2, 1. Thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to receive the inside scoop on what is working right now in our highest performing campaigns, and likewise, what are the pitfalls to avoid directly to your inbox, then simply visit insidescoop.salesredefined.com.au to make sure that you receive our fortnightly newsletter with everything that you need to know to stay ahead of the pack directly to your inbox. And finally, before you leave us, don't forget to subscribe to Redefining Sales Podcast so that you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed it, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a comment or perhaps share it with a friend or colleague who you know would enjoy it. We'll see you next time.